thank you so much for listening to another episode of CX Chronicles Podcast. I'm your host, Adrian Brady Chisana. Tune in each week as we listen to amazing customer-focused business leaders from across the world sharing their personal stories about their teams, tools, process, and feedback. Check us out at cxchronicles.com today or listen on iTunes, Spotify, and Stitcher. Today's episode is brought to you by Propel. Propel helps product companies grow revenue and increase business value. Their product value management platform connects commercial and product teams to optimize decision-making, drive process efficiencies, and engage customers with compelling products and experiences. Propel has a proven track record of improving product quality, speeding time to revenue and profit, and improving customer satisfaction. Recognized as a Deloitte Technology Fast 500 winner, Propel is built on Salesforce and drives product success for hyper-growth startups, corporate pioneers, and Fortune 500 leaders in the high-tech, med-tech, and consumer goods industry. Check out what Tom and the team at Propel are working on at propelsoftware.com. And huge thanks to the team for sponsoring today's show. Hey guys, are you looking for ways that you can improve your company's customer experience, customer success, and revenue operations? Then reach out to CX Chronicles. We created CXE after years of being practitioners ourselves, experiencing firsthand the challenges and opportunities of building and managing CXCS revenue operations team from the ground up at a scaling organization. Why work with CX Chronicles? Number one, you get executive level expertise and credibility from day one. We jump in and ramp up as quickly as you need us. Number two, you get actionable CTAs that will maximize your CX and CS ROI. We investigate and audit the economics of your existing CX and CS structure and determine how it can be optimized. And number three, check out our amazing CX and CS focused SaaS partners. We're working with Salesforce, HubSpot, Sturdy, Zendesk, Customer, Help Scout, Churn Zero, Freshworks, and more. Reach out to CXE today, guys. All right, guys, thanks so much for listening to another episode of the CX Chronicles podcast. Super excited for today's guest, Mr. Tom Shoemaker. Welcome to the CX Chronicles podcast, my friend.
Hey, good to be here.
So, guys, Tom has got a super cool story. He's working at a very, very cool business. He's the vice president of product marketing at Propel. And, you know, it's funny, as we've expanded the show and as we've gotten deeper into some of these episodes, we've been getting more and more awesome customer-focused business leaders that are really, really focused on product. And I'm pumped today, Tom, to kind of dive in and hear it straight from you, sir, and hear straight from some of the awesome things that you and your team at Propel are doing. So why don't you start off today's show like we start off all these episodes, man? Take a couple minutes, lay out the stepping stones. We'd love to kind of understand, number one, how did you find your way into a VP of product marketing role and a chief marketing role? Because you've had a bunch of CMO types of experience as well. How did you get started in the space, man? What drew you into the whole marketing and the product marketing sphere? And what were some of the steps along your path that kind of got you here today?
Yeah. So first of all, really excited to be here. Thanks for having me. Yeah, let's jump into that. So I would say, you know, what sort of started me off in my career, I went to school for engineering. And, you know, I remember back, like, it was high school, middle of high school, at some point, well, I was doing all right in math, I was doing all right in science. And you had to start to think about where you wanted to go to college, what you wanted to study. And someone said, you should try engineering. And I was like, well, engineering, okay. And I didn't let on then, but I was like, what the heck is that? I mean, is that the train conductor? Is that what that is? So I remember looking in, I was, you know, embarrassed to admit it, but, you know, went to our Encyclopedia Britannicas that we used to have, went to the E volume, looked up engineering and said, oh, applying math and science to like real world problems. Cool. Yeah, I should do engineering. So I went to college for engineering, college called Rensselaer RPI, upstate New York. Good education, good experience came out of that. And this was 1991, and the prospects for work weren't great then. Ended up catching on something in Teradyne in Boston.
Okay.
Did some work there. but then responded to an ad. This was like the old school way that companies would advertise. It's a piece of paper on a bulletin board that talked about, you know, a product line manager for a software company. Nice. And it was software that was being sold to engineers. So that to me was the in, but it was not, you know, what I wanted to do or what I thought I wanted to do. I wanted to build roller coasters, really, is what I wanted to do.
Seriously?
Yeah. Or water slides or something cool like that.
That's awesome. But,
you know, they all needed people with loads of experience, and I didn't have that at that time. But I responded to this ad. The company was called Parametric Technology Corporation, PTC. They go by now. And ended up catching on there. And what I did was, it was technical pre-sales, but because it was a solution that was marketed and sold to engineers, they were looking for engineers to come in and to really learn the product, to really understand the product, and to go out and take it to prospects for these large prospective deals that were, you know, $1 million or $2 million or $5 million in size at that time. So, you know, here I was part of a team, like we were all kind of early mid 20s being flown around the world, some exotic locations, some not so exotic locations, but, you know, working, to try to win over, some of these discrete manufacturing companies who've been using some archaic systems for a long time. To get them to see this new way of doing things. And we did well that, and eventually that led its way to a marketing role. I really liked doing that, but I wanted to get on the marketing side of things. And from that point on, it was maybe from around 2000 on, I've been in a marketing or marketing leadership or product marketing leadership role ever since.
I love it. That's awesome. So number one, thank you for kind of sharing that story. I love the roller coaster comment. I asked seriously because like that would be a super, super dope job.
Oh yeah. This, oh yeah. Sure. No doubt.
But before I let you get off this topic, talk about product marketing. And you know, so Tom, yeah. You know, a lot of the folks that are listening to the Seeks Chronicles podcast, we've got customer experience, customer success, revenue operations, customer support, but we got all these people that are typically day in, day out, they're thinking about customers, they're working with customers, they're working with customer-facing teams. Product marketing, give us like the 60-second on that. Give us the 60-second Tom Shoemaker definition of how do you kind of break product marketing down for folks that don't really know what it is?
Yeah, it's really the intersection of, well, the product and the market and as a proxy, you know, sales and product management, right? So you kind of sit at the nexus of the folks that are doing demand gen, the folks that are building the product, the folks that are selling the product. So it's a job that requires you, I think, to be conversant in enough technical detail that you can sort of hang with the product managers. But you have to be able to translate that technical detail into different levels of abstraction, right? For educating and informing the sellers and educating and informing prospects and customers out to the marketplace. So I really like it because it's super varied. It's technical, it's customer facing, you know, it's got the commercial element to it. And, you know, every day it's something new, it's something different. But the types of things that you would do, you would work on product launches, right? Bringing new products to market. And in our case, we're a software vendor. So it's bringing new software solutions to market. It's doing pricing. It's doing content development. It's doing sales enablement. It's doing, you know, a bunch of different things, win-loss, pricing, things like that.
That's awesome. So first of all, awesome explanation. And I think that like for some of our listeners, guys, if many of you probably already have folks that are owning and thinking about product marketing and product market fit and product management marketing. And the reality is a lot of growth companies, they don't have some of this stuff yet. And part of why ongoing pitch and pivots and ups and downs and wins and losses, part of the reason why they're so difficult and maybe not maybe not as easy to learn from, or as easy to kind of pick yourself back up and kind of run a little bit further, run a little bit harder, is because they don't have somebody like you that's doing that intersection piece. Like, because there is so much that goes into product marketing, guys. And the reality is, and it's funny, and I was pumped for today, Tom, because like this is an area where for CXers and CSers, man, we need more connectivity to our product marketing management and leadership. And then I think the other thing is, I love the explanation that you just laid out in front of us, but there is so many different parts of essentially the customer journey that you're thinking about and that CX and CS leaders are thinking about or ought to be thinking about. I love that. One easy takeaway for our listeners, just to start right today's episode right off, is like thinking about how your company does that, thinking about how your team does that. And maybe you already have a phenomenal relationship and you already have the interworkings. Maybe you don't. And if you don't, have these conversations with your team, because this is a really interesting one, Tom, where like a lot of these growth companies, it almost takes to a certain level of business maturation for it to become absolutely needed thing. But the reality is if you start doing this sooner, earlier, faster, they probably grow a little bit faster, probably see a little bit more velocity.
Absolutely. Yeah. A lot of companies sort of leave this to a product management function. And in our role, we work very closely and love the relationship we have with product managers, but they've got their own thing to do, and they're sort of forming the thing, the offering. But that offering needs to be packaged. It needs to really be understood. It needs to be promoted in a certain way. It needs to be marshaled through the demand gen machine. Yep. And that's where you need a product marketing person, and the sellers have to understand what the thing is, how to promote it, how to position it. And that's where product marketing comes to play.
I love it. Tom, awesome explanation on that. Let's jump into the first CX pillar of teams. Yeah. So let's talk about the team at Propel, man. I'd love to understand, number one, just give us the high level of the folks that you got, where you guys are located, and then give their listeners a sense for sort of how the Propel team has kind of broken out the different teams, departments, divisions, so we kind of get an understanding for how you folks have kind of laid your players out on the pitch.
Yeah, for sure. So company is Propel Software, based on the West Coast in the Bay Area, Santa Clara, California. Though we've got, let's say, half the company that is remote, including myself. I'm in the Boston area. We've got a bit of a Boston contingent starting to form. But company's headquartered West Coast. We've got a direct sales team, right? So kind of the outside sellers. We've got sales development reps, kind of the inside sellers and those that are like, attracting prospects, setting up meetings and appointments. We've got a new account management function that works hand in hand with the CSMs, right? So for us, the CSMs are really the business partner to our accounts, ensuring that they realize the value from the solution that they purchased from us. They're really intense and incentivized around securing the renewal. And then the account managers are the ones that are expanding the footprint inside the account, right? So combination of the AEs, account executives, out there getting new logos, new business, AMs, growing the footprint, doing the expansion motions, CSMs responsible for the renewal business.
Love it. I love that you break that down for us, because that's one thing that I know that so many of our listeners are either, they might think that they're killing it with it, and they might think they have a really clean, clear way of sort of dividing and conquering. And then I know for a fact I have conversations every single week, Tom, laying out the clarity points around what you just said. Like, common conversation is thinking about the retention piece, the renewal piece versus upsell, cross-sell versus full-blown net new revenue expansion and net new logo expansion, right? And it's funny because, again, some companies, they've done a brilliant job laying out very clean, clear, divided areas of ownership and responsibility and authority. Some companies haven't. And some companies try to almost take the three things that you just laid out that the Propel team is doing with your AMs, your CSMs, and they try to slam it under one role. And that's not always the best way of doing it.
It's tough to do, and our CSMs do a fantastic job, and up until recently they had so much on their plate. They still do. I mean, we small company. We all have a lot on our plates, but they had an expansion number in addition to, you know, securing the renewals. And that's a lot to do. And you're exercising a couple of dramatically different muscle groups in doing that. And it's a lot to put on someone. There is so much that goes into, so much importance around securing that renewal. And, you know, I've been working on this analogy. I don't know if it's too, you know, we talk about hunters, we talk about farmers. I don't know if that's even too crass to even talk about nowadays. Yeah. But, you know, this, the farmer, you know, you need the people who are like taking care of the seedlings and planting the seeds, definitely, right? And 100%. Tilling the ground and fertilizing and all that kind of stuff before the thing breaks through, and you renew that plant every year. And without those happy customers that are coming back and paying the bills for the future, you don't have that growth engine to follow on from it. So we've come to that realization that there are those two separate motions there, require two different organizations working hand in hand, but totally. Two separate sets of responsibilities and KPIs that they're driving towards.
Yep, I love that. I think that's such a smart way of thinking about it. The other thing too is companies that have that clean, clear division, Tom, and they've got that hunter versus the gatherer, the farmer. Man, the companies that really try to listen, learn, socialize, and then you just said it yourself. You said it, Propel. You get, they're constantly collaborating. They're collaborating. They're communicating. Yeah. They're sharing. That's one of the easiest ways that farmers can teach hunters little tricks that they never even realize that they can.
Oh yeah.
Put to action when they're out in the woods, and then hunters can show farmers a ton of different things that work when you're dropping seedlings and you're doing all of your gardening and you're doing all of your farming. Right. So like, there's something about the tribal knowledge, the sharing, the collaboration between those two groups that can really make for an incredible revenue team.
Agreed. Yeah, absolutely.
That's awesome. So Tom, keep going. Is there any other team, any other folks or any other big team or department folks that you're really kind of working with or that you're kind of thinking about on the day to day?
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, so personally in my role is kind of, we talked about the groups that product marketing tends to be connected at the hip to is corporate marketing or demand gen function, and then product management, right? So the folks that are shaping, forming, understanding of the market requirements, building the product, right? And then there are the folks that are like running the promotional engine, and we're in lockstep with both of those teams, taking, understanding what's coming down the road, what's on the roadmap, understanding the capabilities so that we can form the value prop, we can do the content creation development, and then working through that demand gen promotional engine to get the stories out there, right? To, you know, through our owned channels, like our website and our social channels, but then securing, you know, earned placement, right? Going with those influencers that can help magnify the story for us. So, the other two big functions that are important, at least in my kind of daily world, would be, you know, the product team, the rest of the product team, and then the rest of the corporate marketing function.
Love it. That's awesome. So you guys have a nice big happy family over there at Propel. And then again, just like as you kind of are walking through all the different areas that these different teams, these different folks are kind of covering on the pitch, it's just a nice complementary type of view. And again, for some of our listeners that are building their startups, their growth companies, they're early out, take note of some of the things Tom's laying out here, guys. Like you have to be thinking about early on some of the offensive positions, the midfield positions, the defensive positions. You've got to be thinking about this stuff early because the reality is early on, you're going to have one or two or three people doing everything. They're playing every single role.
Yeah.
But as your business grows, as your business scales, as you bring more customers on, as your product, your service really starts to take fit into the market, these things are coming, guys, and having thoughts and having some ideas around where you're going to put those different players on the pitch early on is going to always be way, way, way more helpful. So I love it.
Yeah. And there are also, you know, there are all sorts of other touch points here. Like it just one example that came up recently, right? So our CSMs are forever wanting and needing to know what our customers are doing with the software application that we've sold them, right? And you can certainly you get a lot of that from the personal dialogue that you've built up with them, and you know what they're doing on a day-to-day basis. But hey, if you had access to that data, you'd be in a better position to help them and understand, are they using it? How many people are using it? What level of adoption do they have? What areas of the product are they, you know, staying away from or spending more of their time on? So you can help as a customer success professional help ensure that they're getting the value from it. So our CSMs have a good relationship, of course, also with our R&D team. And there are some times where you need some instrumentation built or some tooling built that goes inside the product that can, you know, flag these different things and provide that data stream of what's being used, anonymized and all of that, right? But just to know where the spikes are in the product so that you can go back and have a more informed conversation with the customer of where they can be or should be spending their time or where they are spending their time if they don't know it. And maybe they don't always know it.
I love that you bring this up. There's a couple of immediate thoughts I have on this is like, there are so many companies that are specifically SaaS companies too, that if you're not paying attention to a couple of things, number one, your usage, right? Just period, your product usage and seeing exactly like you said, Tom, where people are using it, where they're not using it, where there's breakdowns or troubles. The other one that is license utilization too. There's so many companies out there who might sell 100 licenses, and then the CSM and maybe the account management team are going, I don't know if we're going to be able to upsell them. Well, there's only 50 or 60 or 70% license utilization. What do you mean you're going to upsell them? How the hell are you going to upsell somebody when you don't even have 100% usability? You have multiple people in the business. To your point, comment earlier, multi-thread. I love it. I use that term all the time. You have all these different people multi-threading together to make the thing that much stronger, tighter, more adopted than ever. Buy-in is clearly there, right? Once you have multiple stakeholders that are all using it.
Yeah.
These are things that, again, I think modern CX and CS folks, we've got to be thinking about. One last thing, journeys. You made a comment that made me think about every business, every product, every service has got a different way of kind of capturing where that specific customer is in a journey, right? Some of our more mature and advanced larger companies, they might have full-blown cohort analysis where they know every single solitary cohort from 10 years back and they know exactly how to follow them. Some of our other listeners, they're 2, 3, 4, 5 years into building a company. Maybe they got their first 100, maybe their first 500 customers for their first five to 10 million bucks. Journeys is interesting. It's like, I think as I have more of these conversations, Tom, what I'm realizing is it's almost like a piece that you have to understand. Meaning, so like, I'll give an example, like understanding which customers are maybe in an early adoption journey versus customers who are using your tool, your product, your solution for 5 years. They've already got full-blown product usage. They've got 100% license utilization. And I think what I've been learning, like, as I have more of these conversations, is like a lot of companies don't take the time to break down. They might be really good at product usage, might be really good at their utilization understanding, and they know what that looks like. But journeys is fascinating to me, man, because I do think that every business, every team, every product, every service, there might be different components of journeys that you have to break down. And I don't always hear a lot of executive teams talking about that. I hear they ask for all these other types of looks and views and reports and dashboards that they think is going to help kind of keep the ship in the right direction. But journeys is one that I've only really kind of heard a few people talk about really, really crisply, clearly, and cleanly. And I just think for our listeners, man, that's such a great way of unpacking your customer portfolio and understanding of the 100 customers you got, what journey are these 20% in? What journey are these 20%
in? Right.
And so on and far down the line.
And, the data gets you part of the way there. And for us, our software application is built on a Salesforce platform. So there is some really pretty thorough level of instrumentation that is built in where we can enable our customers to run their own reports to not just gauge how well their operations are going, but are people using their software. And then we also, as I mentioned this, we built some instrumentation. There are some other commercial tools that we use to sort of mix and match different data points so that we get a heat map basically of all of our accounts. We get a level of usage of the licenses they purchased, hotspots where they're spending their time in the software and things like that. So that's really good and that's useful, but it's one part of it. It's useful for then the CSMs to take to a quarterly exec business review where you're going back to the stakeholders and the exec sponsors, and you're saying, this is what you're doing with the software. You know, this is what either you're telling us is the value you're realizing, or we see where, you know, you're able to spend time and how much utilization that you have, and you're confirming those things, and you're getting some other insights. So the tools get you a part of the way there, but that personal connection that the CS professional has, either forms or has with the executive on a recurring basis, to ensure that you're making progress, and progress towards some agreed upon KPIs, right? Yeah. You're only using the software because you're trying to do something. You're trying to get the market 38% faster, or reduce your cost of goods sold by 7%, or whatever it is. But if you don't know where you are trending towards that, then why are you doing this? Right.
100%. Yep. I love it, Tom. I'd love to swing the camera in a different direction and jump into the second pillar of tools, because you started to go there. You mentioned Salesforce.
Yeah.
You mentioned that Propel being built in with Salesforce. I'd love to hear you spend a couple minutes kind of talking about the way that you and your team has sort of, number one, just built and managed the tech stack that Propel has today, right? Because every company's got a bunch of different tools, and they got a bunch of different pieces of software and technology that are together. But then you guys also have your own technology. Spend a couple minutes talking about how you and the team at Propel kind of manage your tech stack, and how you sort of work with some of your customers, providing some of the tech that you guys actually are building and leveraging on a day-to-day basis.
Okay. Yeah. So first, maybe the internal view of us and how we enable our tech stack, and the tools that we use, that we talked about here. So yeah, absolutely. Ours is a technology that's built on top of Salesforce. So we're an ISV, integrated software vendor, that partners with Salesforce, and it is through either embedded capabilities that they have or some commercial tools. There's one called ISV app, I'll shout that out, that we use, and some other things that we built that enable us to get some good insights on what customers are using. And in our own instance of Salesforce that we use for managing customer relationships, we're able to feed that data in. So you're able to look at the accounts, you're able to match that up with kind of health scorecards, if you will, that speak to how well the customers are using this, how often they're using it, how well they're adopting it, how much license utilization they have, and things like that. And that is what goes into our CSM's toolkit for their ongoing review of the accounts that they look after and these exec business reviews, right? That's an important part, is that you have to have those touch points with the exec leaders at your customers. And then if I can just kind of spin it around to then what we're doing for our customers, right? So our software, we make software for discrete manufacturers, right? So people who make physical goods, you know, phones, computer mice, big medical pieces of equipment that might be in an operating room, for example, right? So if you make a physical product, there's a lot that goes into it. A lot from the product side, right? Engineers have to, you know, build the thing. Sourcing people have to source the right components that go into it. Manufacturing has to manufacture stuff and then do final assembly. Quality plays a role. But the other big part that a lot of the traditional tools in this space haven't done is to commercialize that product. And this is what we do. And this is one of the big differentiators of Propel, is that we help you not only do the product development and quality, but also the commercialization of the product, right? So enriching it with packaging it with all the content and the collateral and the attribution that you need to sell it through various distribution channels. Maybe it's Amazon, maybe it's Walmart, maybe it's Target, maybe it's a series of distributors for medical equipment. They all need more than just what the engineering team deliver of a product, its specification and all that. They need, well, does it comply with these regulations? Am I able to sell it in these markets? What about all the marketing collateral, brochures, technical information, users' guides, all of those other things, and in the format that all those different channels need them? Walmart needs it in one way, Amazon a different way, Target another way. If you're selling it through other e-commerce sites or distributor networks, yet a different way. So those are the things that we do that help our customers produce not just an excellent product, that matters, but an excellent product presentation and experience, right? Because what really matters, what we see matters more and more, as much as the physical product and the price of it, what experience does it create? And you get that experience from what it's like to shop for the thing, right? Yeah, what's it like to purchase the thing, yep, right? Yep. If you see the same product and you get a bare bones description here on this one e-commerce site, when you go to Amazon and it's, you know, you got all the hero shots and you got the great attributes and it's fully, you know, it's got product reviews and it has everything that you could ever want to know about that product. Which ones you're going to buy? Totally. Same thing.
Yep.
This is part of the experience.
Yep.
But then when you get the product, you use the product, the joy it creates for you, how well it works for you. Did you like buying it? Did you like doing business from this company? Are you aligned with them? Do you have common values with them? All of that makes up the experience. And that's what Propel does, right? We help you not just create the great products, but that great product experience as well.
I love that. There's a few things that you just laid out there that I just want to go back and unpack real quick. One of them, you broke down this notion of you're helping with the product life cycle management for sure, because you're bringing it through all these different ebbs and flows from a start to a middle to a finish. You talked about quality management, because when I heard you talking about like commercialization, there's like literally helping folks understand, hey, this is excellent quality. This might not be so good quality. That might be hard to commercialize if that's low quality. Yeah. That's one thing. Exactly. Product information is another one. And this is how I'm so happy you brought this up. It's crazy how obviously big companies, mature companies, they've got this figured out. That's part of why that's why every one of us knows their logo, knows who they are, what they do, all that jazz. But for growth companies and for companies that are scaling,
I don't know that they all have it figured out. Maybe
Go on. Elaborate on that.
Like, you can throw people at a problem and get the job done, but not necessarily get the job done as efficiently as you ought to, or as well as you ought to, right? So there's still problems in bigger companies of many manual steps, bringing together, you know, the definition, the quality, and the commercialization of the product. It's not a smooth flow, but you can get around that if you're big enough, have enough money and enough, you know, people to put at the problem, you know, kind of sneaker netting your way or swivel chairing your way around manual entering of information to make up for it. Yep. But guess what? There's a better way, right? You could do better. So it didn't mean to take you off course.
No, I love it. I love it. Yeah. Awesome point. What I was going to jump into that I heard that as you were breaking that down for us too, is just like this notion of, it commonly goes back to the journey, meaning like what you also just laid out was like one of the things I personally love about the power of journey mapping. I know some people might not think it's important, some people might not think it's effective, some people might not like spending their time doing that, but you said it in a different type of way that I'm going to start sharing and bringing back to other folks, which is like, until you take the time to look at all of the folks that are involved, all of the touch points aren't a matter of opinion, by the way, guys. Touch points are real things in the world. You're either clicking on a website, you're looking at a brochure. To Tom's point, you're looking at customer reviews and you're seeing literally stars and ratings and math and numbers and letters. Those are real things, right? And then the last part is just the positioning piece of like understanding sort of like common customer consternation points. I love one of the big things that we bake into all of our journey maps at CXC, employee consternation. So oftentimes, especially your customer-facing team, these guys and gals, they know 99% of the time they already know what makes the customer want to literally flip a table over and set the thing on fire. And they know which things are going to make them go to their boss and say, I need 100 licenses tomorrow. And here's the ROI. And this is why if I get 100 more licenses, we're going to be able to blow up and we're going to do the next $10 million in sales. This is what it looks like. Right. And I guess like bringing it back to the journey is just like, that's why it's so critical. And again, every company's got a different appetite towards this, but whether it's on an annual basis, biannual basis, quarterly basis, monthly basis, taking a look at those journeys, taking a look at all the different facets of it, and then you had some different words on it. But this is why I love this show, is like getting into the product lifecycle, understanding how you're managing that, getting into the way that you think about quality, getting into the way that you think about product information or touch point management. This is customer experience curation, guys. This is literally how you begin to design, and then you got to figure out how to go fulfill and execute and deliver. That's always a whole other 9 yards. But Tom, I'd love to dive into the third pillar of process, because we're kind of going there right now. What have been some ways that you've seen in your journey, in your own customer focused business in your journey? How have you seen some companies do an excellent job kind of managing and wrangling and sort of curating process and playbooks and standard operating procedures? And then maybe what are some ways that you've seen companies or clients not do the best job of paying attention to process? I'd love to hear you spend a couple of minutes talking about process.
Yeah. That's a good one. I mean, you know, there's so much that goes into it. I've been at some places where I think we kind of have it on lock, and some other places where it sort of, you know, gets away from you. You maybe sort of lose sight that it's the customers that are paying the bills. It's the customers that are your foundation for the future. You know, the ones that do it well are the ones that don't adopt, let's say, straight up that don't lose sight of the human element. I guess I would say it like that, right?
Yep.
I know we started with Teams, but for my money, I'm always going to bring it back to Teams almost always, because if there's one, you know, pillar to focus on, it's that you can make up for a lot with the right team, with the right approach, with the right human sort of behind the scenes. So process for process's sake doesn't get the job done. But if you have, you know, the right humans making the right decisions, getting access to the right information, then I think you're in good hands, right? So I'll just sort of take it back to this notion that we have here at Propel, that the process that we have for ensuring customer success is it's everyone's job. We put some people in place that sort of own that, the CSMs, but what they're doing is ensuring that the customer is going from a point A to a point B in a smooth way, in a better way than they could using alternate solutions, yep, using competitive solutions, or paying a whole lot of money to do it, right? They've got to get a significant step up in value, however it is that they measure that. Otherwise, why are they doing business with us? Why will they continue to do business with us? And the way that you get there is by baselining what they're at today,
yep,
and establishing where they want to get to tomorrow. And we take a very simple approach. Do you remember Mad Libs?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
you
absolutely.
Fill in, right?
Absolutely.
Now, give me an adjective, right? We take that approach to capturing a handful of crisply worded goals.
Okay.
I want to insert goal.
Yep.
Reduce time to market by insert number. Okay. 17% by, okay, 6 months from go live or whatever it is.
Yep.
Or, you know, I want to increase the revenue from newly launched products by 37% within 9 months of go live, something like that. And those two or three things per account are what we come back to all the time when we have the meetings with the executives and these quarterly business reviews. And then, you know what? You hit them, you hit the goal. Great. you refresh and you cycle through, you establish a new one, and then you just continue to cycle through. And that's, that's building the value prop for the customer. That's building and firming up the relationship that you have, you know, with your own folks. And that is what allows the account to grow, and then to see that you're able to offer value and expand. Oh, you can now, you can help me get to market faster. Oh, you can help me sell a new product. Oh, you can help me enter new markets. Oh, you can help me distribute through new channels. Oh, these are all the things that, you know, I didn't know, but you have, you know, sort of now a roadmap of KPIs that you can help them hit, and you form, and you form this together in a very crisply, succinctly worded goal statement, a la Mad Libs, right?
Yep.
And that to me is something here that, that we're doing at Propel. You know, and it takes some doing. I mean, not every customer is necessarily amenable to doing that at first blush. You got to work through that. But to me, it's some very simple things like that, where you always have the end in mind. You always have the goal in mind that are really best practices.
I love that idea, man. I really do, Tom. I think, like, especially for some of our customer success folks listening right now, like, it's almost like we are literally the gatekeepers of goals. We are the authors of goals. We are the investigators to achieve which goals equal the highest importance to our customers. And then we're tracking goals. So that's kind of coaching. We're like, are you running the mile a little bit faster each day? Are you doing the things that's required to run the mile a little bit quicker? Are you showing up? Are you paying attention? The other piece that I'm glad you called out, relationship, man. Nobody's given anybody details about goals. Nobody's given anybody valuable, possibly personal information unless you got a relationship with them. So, like, you know, it's funny. I know you would think it goes without being said, but, like, sometimes we're working with clients at CXC time, and we'll get into, like, cadences. We'll understand. So, like, because you mentioned QBR, so we'll try to understand portfolio cadences. Are we meeting with folks weekly, biweekly, monthly, quarterly? What's the cadence? What's the highest performing accounts look like? What's the lowest performing accounts look like? What are the middle? What are we doing for cadences around that? And anyway, what you just laid out with goals, though, man, is, like, super, super interesting, because, like, that is what we're doing. We're gatekeeping goals. We're always looking to see which goals are going to have the biggest bang for our buck. I talk all the time. I'm glad it's funny. We say similar things just with different words. Like, your goal is to become a strategic partner, right? Like, when you're a customer success manager and you're really kind of there to think about owning your book of business, retaining all of it, maybe growing some of it, right, through upsell, cross-sell, throughout working with your account managers, your account executives, et cetera, your revenue team. But there's so much good stuff in there. And I love that, like, you know, this is one of the, I think this might be one of the first episodes where the whole process section was about goals, relationships, accountability, consistency. I love that, man. I think that's awesome. And I think that's a takeaway for our listeners. Tom, I'd love to jump into the fourth and the final pillar of feedback, man. Let's do this. We'll do the two-way street as always. I'd love for you to spend a minute or two talking about how you and the Propel team are collecting, leveraging, and acting upon your customer feedback. And then I'd love to hear you spend a minute or two talking about how you collect, leverage, and act upon your employee and the awesome folks at Propel's feedback.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So customer, many different touch points. We've got a customer community, for example. So an online forum, but knowledge sharing and knowledge database, that's an opportunity for people to chime in. You know, we'll post things and people will chime in on potential ideas or enhancement ideas or feedback or things like that. But there is a formal request process, you know, back to process. And it's as simple as going through the CSM and you know, logging. And it doesn't even require you to go to any tool, though you can. We use our Salesforce service cloud for doing this, for an enhancement request. And we take that and we track that. And that is, you know, one feed into our system. Just by virtue of the close relationship that our CSMs have with our customers, with our champions, with our executives, they are forever understanding what's top of mind for the account. And we start to do things like regional user groups, you know, some remote customer webinars where we open up the floor to the accounts to give us feedback and weigh in on different things. So that's from the customer side. The employee side, we do employee engagement surveys every quarter. First of all, it's a very open culture for us. So people have, you know, our leadership team is very open to just at any time someone knocking on their door, their virtual door, if you will, and offering feedback. But we do have a systemic way of capturing that through quarterly employee engagement surveys. And those results are captured. They're brought to the executive team and they're relayed back to the entire employee base. So it's not like, oh, we ran this thing and what the hell happened? It went into the ether somewhere. We report back. So everyone sees the results. They see how it has trended over time. And they see the actions that we're committing to as an organization to, you know, adjust anything, course correct anything that needs to be corrected.
I love that. It's that notion of you asked, we listened. And guys, that is just such, and by the way, you don't need to be an executive to do that stuff, right, Tom? Like meaning like for some of our younger listeners that are they're listening to Tom's story today to try to figure out how they can climb that ladder a little bit faster, a little bit higher. Start doing that stuff with your book of business today, right? Like start like, yeah. I mean, I'm sure your business already has different ways of doing surveying, polling, all these things. I know that there's some order to this, but like to Tom's point, just in your relationships, just on your calls, just in your check-ins, you start thinking about how you can aggregate that and then start to piece together not only what you've aggregated, but what you have been able to do with that feedback. Now people are going to be listening to you, especially your executive team. So I love it. Tom, before we wrap up today's show, man, anything that you want to call out, anything, any new events coming up, anything that you want to kind of shout out that the Propel team is doing, any announcements?
Yeah. So two things, if I could, you go to converged.propelsoftware.com, converged as in bringing two things together, because we talk about bringing the product and the commercial team together. That's sort of our whole thing.
Yep.
That's our, it does it a disservice to say it's our blog, but it's our resource center. It really is a destination, I would say, for it's not overly promotional. It's a lot of good information here that's, you know, primarily in our space, right? It's around supply chain, it's around production, it's around engineering, it's around product development and product quality and things like that. So that's interesting. But we have our annual event that's coming up that's called awesome. Propulsion.
Nice.
So propulsion, right? You know, take off of Propel. Yep. That's coming up here May 17th and 18th. And you can hear about that at propelsoftware.com, and you can sign up and register for that. And I, you know, can certainly provide you a link so that your listeners and viewers can go right there and sign up. Lots of great content you get there. You're going to hear from Jeffrey Moore, author of Crossing the Chasm, Inside awesome. The Tornado.
Nice.
You're going to hear from leaders, customers of ours. You're going to hear from our executive team. You're going to hear from, you know, lots of great speakers. Again, you know, just maybe just a little bit of promotional content there, but it's really meant to be kind of, for our space, all of the factors that influence manufacturing. What's going on in the broader economy? What's, you know, political going on and how that may shape things? How about supply chain disruption? And then you get customers that are having to deal with all that and thrive during that environment and how they're able to do that, telling their stories.
I love it. Well, number one, we'll be sure to put those both of those things inside of our show notes. Tom, great. It's been an absolute pleasure, man. It's been an awesome, awesome conversation. So many good insights, so many good CTAs and just action sets that you're leaving our listeners with today. Really enjoy the chat, man. And I wish you and the team over at Propel the best of luck.
I had fun. Thank you.
Thanks, Tom.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the CX Chronicles podcast. We're thrilled to have you as a part of the CX Nation, tuning into customer-focused business leaders from across the world. Be sure to check out the CXC website, and as always, find us on any of your favorite podcast players, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, and more. Thanks so much for making this show a reality, and being a part of the CX Nation. And as always, folks, remember to make happiness a habit.